I rejoice and sing. You are my, let's sing it once more to him. Oh, you are my refuge. You are my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place. You are my refuge. And when the storms are raging, it's underneath your wings. I rejoice and sing. You are my refuge. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Sing it to him again. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. My strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my always, you are all in all this morning. I'm seeking you as a precious jewel. I want the Holy Ghost to rule. You are my all in all. Singing Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is your name. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. Hallelujah. Fill my cup. You are my all in all. Praise him this morning. Jesus, oh Lamb of God, oh worthy is your name. Singing Jesus, oh Lamb of God, oh worthy is your. Let's sing that second verse again. Taking my sin, oh, you're taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill, oh, as he filled your cup this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, worthy is your name. Singing Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, let's just stand and lift our hands to him. Sing it with all your heart. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, my Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name,
my Jesus,
Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. He's worthy. We're not by ourselves, but we are worthy because He made us worthy. Amen. And we're not worthy except by the blood of the Lamb. We become the blood by the Spirit. Sister Christine brought me that quote. I told her, I said, we'll get to it. Don't worry. I love that quote where Brother Bram says that the bride is the blood by the Spirit. We're the blood of God. We're actually the redemption. We're not just the plan. We're part of the redemption. We're part of the redemptive process. People will be redeemed by you. Brother Branham said, oh, the lady says, oh, you forgive those people those sins, of their sins. He said, is that so far? Is that so far away? Because I thought the Bible tells us, and we'll get to it a little bit later on, where the Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, stood on earth, and He said, I want y'all to know that on the earth, the Son of Man can forgive sins. Well, now, where's the Son of Man in the end time? He's in the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's, we're talking about speaking the word. Boy, I was reading the adoption series this morning, and wow. That was in 1960 when he started that series, and I thought, man, he had... It sounds like he's preaching that after the seals is done open. Amen. He was had a lot of inspiration in those adoption series, but one thing he said, give me a church that'll do everything that God tells it to do. Like Brother Ryan was talking about. Sometimes y'all might think it's repetition. I don't think it's repetition. I think it's worshiping God the way He wants to be worshiped. You know, the Bible tells us that iniquity will abound in the end time and the love of many a wax cold. You know what iniquity is? It's knowing not to do something and you do it anyway or not doing it and knowing you should. All right? So by way of announcements, let's start with that. I think maybe sometimes we forget as we get older maybe. But Sunday school is important. But it's more important to be up here. That's why we start all of our Sunday schools at 9:45 and we finish them at 10:15. I want everybody in this sanctuary by at least 10:16 or 17. Doesn't take you but a minute or two, maybe 10:20 at the latest. Some of you have musicians that are in your classes that need to be up here during worship service, not come dragging in at 10:30. Okay, that wasn't ever changed, so you must have changed it. See what I mean about iniquity. You're going to do what you want to do. And also, there's been people seeing people sitting in their cars while the service is going on. If you're sick, that's okay. But if you're a kid, you need your parents there with you. There won't be any kids sitting in cars. There won't be any kids roaming around downstairs anymore after today. If your kid can't stay awake, send them home. Okay? That's what I mean, these things have never changed. Sometimes we just forget. Brother Brown says, be in the sanctuary 20 minutes before the service starts. And some of you drag in at 10:30. And we're going in rapture. Yeah, we're getting to adoption. Yeah. No. But we need to stop it. Kids don't need to be downstairs without their parents. If you're sick, that's okay. But while this service is going on, there shouldn't be no one downstairs at all. You should be up here at 10:45 or 10:15. You've had plenty of time to do what you need to do from 9:45 to 10:15. It's more important to be up here. Amen? It's more important to be up here, not what you're saying downstairs. Okay? So 10:15, I want everybody up here then. And be ready. Ryan did a good job today. Man, what a good job he did. One more time. Take over for Brother Bob. Just remember Brother Bob, he sent me a text a few minutes ago. His dad, his father-in-law is not doing well in his body. His mind is okay, but he has Lou Gehrig's disease. And some of you don't know what that is, but it's the muscles, and you have pretty much no control after a little while of yourself, and then there's no cure. But we know one guy that said, I'll heal all your diseases. So we're going to pray for our brother that he'll be restored. He's got a big family, and they're all down there now. Brother Bob's preaching for him. So remember Bob and the kids and all down there. Also, Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Those of you that are going to camp, you need to make sure you get everything together, ready to go. I'll be up there Friday for a little while. I'm bringing Deanna up Friday afternoon. So just do us fine. Do us well. Don't get in trouble. Go up there for one reason. That's to praise the Lord. And to find the will of God for your life. Amen. Also, next Sunday, I'll be at Brother Mike Olte's. I've been trying to stay home more, but Brother Mike's called two weekends in a row, and I talked to Dad today. He just had a heart attack. He's got bladder stones, not kidney stones, bladder stones, and they're hurting him pretty bad. So I'm going to go preach for him next Sunday morning, and Brother Aaron will take Sunday morning service here. Brother Bob will still be doing Sunday school, and then Brother Bob will be doing the afternoon service at 2 o'clock. So just keep that in your prayers. Pray for me. Pray for Brother Mike. I don't think they've had service since he's had a heart attack 2 months ago. So the people need comfort. They need to see their shepherd back. Amen? All right, now let's remember a couple more things. November the 6th, Bible study. We got November coming up. November the 10th, Brother Marcus Becker will be with us. November the 14th will be our church dinner. We'll only have one service. And then you know that the next weekend will be, or next week will be Thanksgiving, and we will not have service on that Wednesday night. We will have service on that Tuesday night. All right. That's been something we've done for several years. So just keep that in your heart and your mind. So all minds clear. You ready to hear the word of God? You know, I was thinking yesterday when I read that quote, I'm going to read it again, where Brother Brown says that he's coming in a different way. We're going to talk about a different way, but now remember when I made that quote last weekend, it maybe seems to stumble you a little bit because you say, well, have we got to learn all this new way? No, remember, Jesus came exactly the way the Old Testament said he was coming. He didn't miss it by one scripture, right? So he came what was in the Bible, but he didn't come the way they wanted him to come. So it's not some new seventh seal revelation. We're going to get a new Bible. We're going to get a new quote. We're going to get a new this. No, it's the same thing that we've read all along. It's just going to, there's going to be more revealed. There's going to be more opened up. There's going to be more light. And listen, there's going to be more power in the Word of God. As Brother Bob was preaching on the other night, you know, we got the mechanics. We got all the books and tapes. We listen to them all the time. We read them all the time. We read the quotes. The dynamics is makes that thing go though. All right, so we got the mechanics, and I believe we're heading to the dynamics. And I think we've got to understand that it's not something that we got to go find. It's something you already got inside of you. You just got to let that thing out. Let that thing do what it's supposed to do. Like Ryan said, 1, 2, 3. Every time God told a king to do so and so and so and so, as long as they did it, as long as Israel did exactly what he said, God was blessing them abundantly. The first time they turned against him, the first time I mean, look, he told Solomon, he said, Solomon, as long as you walk in my ways, you'll be the wisest man on earth. And he was the wisest man on earth until what? He let two women bring another god in. Hello, somebody. A strange doctrine. He let two women in. And you know what? That was his downfall. He died right after that. So God will bless you as long as you stay in his blessings. But you get outside of his blessings, then he doesn't have to bless you. See, if you stay under his blessings, he has to bless you. But if you get out from under his blessings, he don't have to bless you. So let's go to John 1:1 and continue this series. But just keep those things in your heart. We're just trying to make everything good and right. We want to be a good example to everybody. Don't think people's not watching you. They're watching every move you make. All of us. So we're supposed to walk right. You know what? They watched Jesus. They watched every move he made. They called him a wine bibber. They called him somebody that was hung around prostitutes and sinners and didn't wash his hand when he eat. Right? Why do you not wash your disciples not wash your hands? Boy, Sister Rachel, your mother would have a problem with that, wouldn't she? Sister Rachel's always talking about men don't ever wash their hands. The disciples didn't. And they ate. They lived and survived. So John 1, verse 1, let's pray before we get started. Let's remember, I cannot remember his name, but they call him Tata. And that means grandfather in Romanian, I'm pretty sure. But let's remember Tata while we're praying. Amen. To Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you just be with us today. Sanctify us for this journey that we're on. Father, we're just trying to get rid of all the sin and the weight that so easily besets us that we can run this race, Father. And we can run it fast so we can get out of here. Lord, I pray this should be with Brother Bob today, giving the words to speak to the people. And Lord, bless that family. Lord, be with Tata, Lord. We love him, Lord, with the love of the Lord. And we pray that you'd raise him up for your honor and glory, Lord. Don't let him suffer like that, Father. Just be with him. He's been your servant for years and years and years. Now I pray that you would just anoint him, Father. And just be with each one, Lord, that's here under the sound of my voice, that you'll give us revelation today. Raise us up higher in you, Father. Lord, for the ones that don't have you, Lord, we pray that you'd just fill them with the Holy Ghost today, Father, that you'll give them, Lord, revelation. Father, we need you more than anything. We don't need all this other stuff. We need you, Father. We need you to come, Lord, and do the speaking today, and you do the hearing, Father. Just be with each one. Bless the ones that are not here. There are several that are on the road doing things. Lord, we pray that you'd bless them. Be with the ones that are at home sick. We pray that you'd be with them, Father, as they watch in. Be the little bride all around the world, Lord, and just take care of each one. Bless our pastor and keep him strong, Lord. Keep going. Keep going. Keep making it better and better and better. Lord, we love you for all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is this Son of Man? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We know that was John the Baptist. Same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. The prophet of God was not that light. All the prophets were not that light. There's only one light, the light. The one that said, let there be light. Amen. But now we're here to declare him, and the prophets are here to declare him, right? He was not that light, but it was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came exactly the way the Bible said, but he came a different way. That's what Brother Brown said, Son of Man. We'll read it. He said, this is all going to come a different way. Why? It's going to come not out of the normalcy of religion. Amen? And we'll talk about a body thou hast prepared me this afternoon. But we're going to indict this generation today first. You got to do that. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's me and you. Even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And that word, same word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And we'll just kind of review over a little bit today. Genesis 3:15 says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, showing that there had to be a natural happening. Man died in flesh. Adam and Eve, they had a fleshly experience. Amen? It didn't kill their soul. Their soul was eternal. Their soul was part of that Genesis 1:26 man. Amen? Alright? Part of that Genesis 1:26 man, that soul was eternal. Couldn't fall. Listen, you can't have God fall. God can't fall. Alright? So when he put that inside of Adam, Adam couldn't fall in his soul. He could fall in his flesh and in his spirit realm. That's where you fall. You fall in your spirit realm. Like I said last Sunday, you know, you look cross-eyed at him if you want to, but you don't, when you sin out here in the world or do something wrong or get condemned, that's not in your soul. Your soul is what's condemning you. And if your soul don't condemn you, you don't have one in there that will condemn you. That's what I'm telling you about this adoption that we're coming to. If we don't become more and more aware of what we're doing and not doing, then we're not going up that statue of perfect man. And you might be just a regular good old Christian, and that's okay. But that's not what our requirement is. Well, the requirement of the Son of Man is to take a body change. And you won't take a body change acting like we do. Me, everybody else, because we haven't come to that position yet. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Showing that the act of redemption has to come, if they died in flesh, that there's going to have to be somebody come and bring flesh back, become flesh, and bring the flesh back up. Now we know, here's Adam, soul was eternal, spirit was given to him by God. Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Hello. All right. And then he was given a body in Genesis 2:7. And inside of him was a special thing, because God wasn't going to create another person. He was going to take that person and divide him. Male and female created he them. So there's that part over here. He can't change that. But when he brought Adam first, Eve was inside of him, then Eve was taken out of Adam, and then the spirit of Eve, the feminist part of Eve, was put into her, and there she was, flesh out of who? Out of Adam, out of his side. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Alright? So now, that's the same way. Now remember, when they got separated, God knew they were gonna fall. I was reading this morning in the adoption series, Brother Brown, starting in Ephesians, talking about foreknowledge. He said that's the reason the Lamb had to be slain before the foundation of the world, before everything came. He knew they were going to fall. So he didn't give Satan 1 second of an opportunity to destroy his plan. So if we look at the plan of God, it is already set, signed, and delivered. Satan can't do anything about it. He can play all he wants to, but God's already. If your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life, you're already sitting in heavenly places. Amen? Amen? And you can't be lost. Right. Praise God. Amen. So Adam was already saved before he got here. In the mind of God. As Brother Bob was talking about. In the mind of God, you're saved. When you was born of your flesh mom and daddy, you weren't. Because the Bible said, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of this body that's here, but of what? But of God. We're born from above. And truly, if Jesus could live in human flesh and be the absolute headstone, and now he lives inside of me and you, that's the whole point of this whole thing. And he now transferred all that inside of you. Now, not all of it. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but you get your part. But see, there by foreknowledge, God knew what parts you wanted. And there is your journey. There's the foreknowledge of God, setting your destiny by what he saw that you wanted and didn't want. Amen? So listen, yes, obviously, God is all-knowing. And he's already got this thing set. But it's only set by the life he saw you live. So you have a lot to do with this. Amen? Why are y'all so quiet this morning? Okay. If at the ball game, you wouldn't be. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, "The Lord thy God shall raise up to thee unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him he shall hearken." So now this is another promise, because we're going to go back and we're going to see Jesus. We're going to walk him through the Old Testament this afternoon. But this morning we're going to kind of go back and get a background. Listen, because I want you to understand why we need the revelation of the Son of Man. Listen, if you've been in this message any time in your life, you've heard of the Son of Man. You've heard Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. This is the Son of Man message. Brother Branham talks about the Son of Man this, Son of Man that. Jesus called himself the Son of Man. So there must be something about this Son of Man. Amen? And there must be something about him that a lot of people don't understand. I'm talking about 99.9% of the people in the world do not understand who the Son of Man is. They make him a second person of the Trinity. They don't baptize in his name. The very salvation that he came to give. So the whole part, that's why Brother Branham had to come and restore the Son of God revelation first, because it got lost. But then the Son of Man revelation is, like he said, it's something different. Jesus was a different individual. But yet he was human. Yet he ate every day. Yet he walked the roads of Galilee. Yet he talked to the people. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did everything that he said he was going to do. And they killed him for it. That's what they killed him for. They killed him for saying he was God. They didn't kill him for all the other things. They didn't hate Brother Branham while he was on his road around in different communities and healing the sick and raising their dead. The pastors loved him. He was just filling churches full. There was no message church back then. Remember, he said, you get saved. He said, go to find you some full gospel church. Or he said, you go back and tell your people in your church. See, there's nowhere he could send them. But see, that was under the Son of God revelation, like we were talking about last Sunday. Because the Son of God revelation got them saved. Got them saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. All right? Made them live a better life. And we'll read that right here in just a second. But now Matthew 16, we don't need to read that, because Jesus, you know what he's saying. Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they told him who the Son of God was. He said, "I'll build my church on that, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." All right? But now listen. If you ever wonder why Jesus said that, why he didn't rebuke Peter? Because he didn't answer the question. Why didn't he say, "Peter, that's not what I asked you"? He didn't. He just continued on, said, "Okay, I'll build my church on that revelation." Because see, being Almighty God, he knew that they were going to crucify him. He knew that they were going to He was going to come back on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Ghost, but he also knew, being the Word, he knew that there had to be a group of people way down the line, 2,000 years later, that was going to get that revelation again and him come back again and get into your human flesh and change your body. Amen? I believe that's what he was, if he didn't know it, you know, there's some things that Jesus didn't know. Brother Bram said he didn't know anything about it when he was coming or about his second coming. So, and he said only the Father knows that. There's some strange things, but remember, Jesus was ever with human, but he was ever with God. Amen. And we got to see that. You say, how can we, listen, we ought to be able to see it more than the whole world sees it. We ought to be able to see that and understand how can be ever with human and ever with God, because apart from your birth, you came just like Jesus did. Apart from your sex birth. You understand what I mean? He grew up like a kid. He learned by the things he suffered. He grew in grace and knowledge. He came to a river Jordan and he was approved or accepted of God. The Holy Ghost came down on him on the river Jordan and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." Brother Branham said, that's the same thing happens to the believer. Amen. Then he walked through his Christian journey. He walked through his Christian journey, doing what the Father said. Now look, the only difference in him and me and you is he said, I only do that which the Father shows me. We have a problem with that. You don't do everything. You don't even do everything your natural father says, much less your spiritual father. That's what I told my kids. They wanted to be famous. I said, you want to be on Oprah Winfrey? I said, I'll promise you one thing. Do everything your parents tell you to do, and you'll be on Oprah Winfrey. Because there ain't a kid that's ever born since Adam and Eve had the kids in the Garden of Eden that's ever done exactly what their parents said. Because we thought they were dumb as a rock till we were about 30. Amen? Then they smartened up. Boom, they just got smart. No. Well, Jesus didn't have a problem with that. He knew who his father was. Amen? If we have the mind of Christ, then it's supposed to change us. Because you know what? If my natural father was not a Christian, and he was an alcoholic, or he cursed like a sailor, I don't want to be like that. I want to be like my heavenly father. Alright? So that's, we got to see that there's a difference in us and Jesus, because he did only what the Father said, because the Father was holy. So he only did holy things. He did run some people out of a temple one time, got a little angry at them. Yeah. And plaited a rope. He plotted his plan by plaiting his rope. Because it took a little while. I bet he didn't make one about that big. No, he probably made one about that big of leather. And he's sitting there in the corner of that temple. And he's going, all right, I'm going to start with that one right there. Because that one's going to hit the door first. I'm going to start with that one's last. Because he's the one that's been beating them animals. And then he tied that knot and he took off. Well, you know what? It's okay. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath, though. But he's our example. The reason he did it, why? For correction. He only did it because they were doing something wrong. He didn't do it because he just wanted to and he didn't think they ought to be. No, it wasn't he didn't think they ought to be there. The Bible said, he said, you have made my house, my father's house, a den of thieves. He was quoting scripture. So he had to fulfill that scripture. They were fulfilling that scripture and he just helped them get out of the temple. A little bit faster than maybe they should have. But he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's go ahead and read number two, quote number two, what visions are, 1956. Skip the first one from Thirst. Because Brother Brown says, faith is a divine revelation. That's the same thing with all of us. It's a divine revelation. It's not just a revelation. It's just an aha moment. It's a divine revelation. And like we were talking, some of us were talking the other day, if you get a true revelation, it'll never leave you. It will never leave you. If you get a true revelation, it will never leave you. No one can talk you out of it. Doesn't matter how many preachers get in the pulpit. Doesn't matter how many naysayers come by. If you get a revelation of who you are, it's solid. And nobody can shake you from that. Nobody. You know, like, we've stood before people in the Daniel 70 weeks and they, poor people can't understand. We're reading the Bible. You gotta make the prophet's message compared to the Bible. Absolutely. And it does. But not your thinking. Amen? But you stand in the face of that, like Dad stood in the face of it since the early 70s. You just stand there. And you let God do what he needs to do. Don't worry about what they think. Because you know what? Nobody's ever proved it wrong. Oh, they give their ideas. But no, they ain't going to prove it because it's Bible. Right? Some people just a few weeks ago had questions about, said that I believe there was 7 years of tribulation. I never said that. Never have I said that. But there is 7 years left after the rapture. According to the Bible. Have y'all heard it? Bible. Oh, sorry. Bible. It's the B-I-B-L-E. Read Daniel 9. Read the Bible. Amen. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. I didn't quote that. God did. And who was that he? That's the Antichrist. We won't be here. What's 1 week? 7 years. Never have we said that there was a 7 years of tribulation. There's only 3.5 years. But there's 7 years left to finish the 70 weeks of Daniel. According to the... Thank you. Y'all get it in a minute. But no, really. And then people fight you over, and they're fighting the Bible. They're fighting the Bible. And they won't come to church now because you quote them the Bible. How can a Christian not come to church if you quote them the Bible? Shows where people's at. Listen, we're all going to manifest who we are. You can sit there with a stone face all you want to. You can stand there and smile all you want to. You can do it, but we are going to manifest who we are. When this thing comes down to the very end, you know what? Judas probably, he was like, oh, this is great, man. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Then he did what he did just right before they crucified him. Just a few minutes, a few hours before they crucified him. Oh, you know what, Brother Collie? I was going to tell you that scripture that you read, Psalms 116. Do you know in tradition? Now, this is tradition. In the tradition of the Jews, the Bible tells us either in Luke or John, Mark or Luke, it says when they left the upper room, they sang a hymn, and then they went in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what they were singing. They were singing Psalms 116. If you read that Psalms 116, you'll see exactly why they were singing that Psalms 116. Amen. So that was good. But I was reading up on that one time, and it said that the tradition of the elders says that that's what they sang when they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane right before he died that next day. So let's read what are visions. You know, I got happy this morning, right? Last night, this morning, because of the Christmas story. What we call Christmas story. But the Bible talks about God coming on earth in human flesh. I got excited about it. I ain't worried about what they think about it out there in the world. I'm talking about what he's done for me and you. That he had to come as a baby. For me. Not for you. For me. He came as a baby for me, not because it was December 25th, which it was not. December 25th. He didn't come to the world so we could give Christmas presents. He came to the world to give us the greatest gift. Brother Brown said, God's wrapped gift. What did he wrap it in? Not swaddling clothes. He wrapped it in human flesh. Because he had to be human flesh so he could die. So see, the Bible says, there'll be this afternoon. There'll be a day that will not be either light or dark, but in the evening shall be light. Now when the Holy Spirit first fell on the church, that was what now? 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Everybody with me? Don't fall asleep already. Bob, they're falling asleep on me. He's in Mobile. Now, when the Holy Spirit first fell on the church, it was in the eastern people in Jerusalem, the 120 in the upper room. That's over there, right? All right. Where the Holy Ghost, that's where the Holy Ghost fell. And great signs and wonders was done by the church in the early Pentecostal age of the early church. Then the next round of apostles. Then come in the Catholic Church, which Catholic is in Rome. Moving a little further west. Alright? Then 1500 years, Luther, Wesley was in where? Germany, Britain. See how it's getting right there? John Wesley's right, and even John Wesley came to the United States. He actually was in Savannah for a long time. He came to Savannah, Georgia to try to convert the Indians. Had a church there in Savannah, Georgia. And then he wasn't very successful because that's not where he was supposed to start preaching at. There was one to come to preach in America. He needed to go back to England. So God sent him back to England where he just tore the whole place up. Amen. Then the next round of apostles, then came the Catholic Church, then 1500 years, then the Lutherans. And then from then on down, it's been a day where the light went out. It's been a daylight enough that you could see that Jesus was the Son of God. What? He said, I'll build my church on that. You should repent. But the real bright light of the Holy Ghost has never shined through these ages. Certainly. The Bible said it wouldn't. As the prophet said it wouldn't. Just as sure as he said they couldn't believe because Isaiah said there wasn't enough been light because the prophet said. But remember, he promised light in the evening time. All right? There's been enough light to know that you ought to do right and wrong. There's been enough light to know that you believed on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We all have to believe on the resurrection. We believe he resurrected or we couldn't get saved. That's right. Amen? Accept him as personal Savior. Put your name on the church book and live the good life. But as far as signs and wonders and direct rays of the sun shining, it hasn't been since Pentecost. And I'll add a little bit to that. Sorry, I'm going to add a little bit to that because he, and now he's talking about where Pentecost come, then I say the word come. Brother Brown brought the word of God, pure and unadulterated, to the people. He tried to do what he could because we're going to read here in just a little while where he had to indict this whole generation. And I mean, we talk about, you talking about some, denominations. Let me read you what he said. I'll read it to you in just a little while. And I, listen, it's not the denomination, remember, it's the people, it's not the people, it's the denomination they're under, alright? Because you and I, if you're in, under false, if you're under false today, you're in a denomination. If you're under false pretense, if you have a, your own revelation, your own idea of things, you're a denomination. Because what is a denomination? It's a doctrinal difference that you can't agree with this one, so you move over to this one. And if you don't like this one, there'll be another one over here that the devil will give you that you can go to that one. All right? But listen, remember, God built his church, though, on the good people that were in that church. Amen? Listen, there's going to be thousands upon thousands. The Bible says, can't number them. That's going to come up in the resurrection through all these church ages that were born again believers. Bride. Got the same new birth you do. But they didn't have all the fullness. They didn't have all the light. Only a little bit of light shone on the word. Like I said last Sunday, up until Luther's age, nobody even had a Bible. Even when they tried to do it, the Catholic Church took it away from them, said, just believe what we tell you. So they all they had to go on was that. Well, you know what? If that's all they had to go on, God couldn't condemn them for not having a Bible. I mean, I thank God that a prophet came one time and he said, you know, he said, those heathens in Africa that's never heard of the Lord Jesus, he said, they'll be judged by what? By how they live in their tribal order. How about that? And you know what? They'll be given eternal life if they live their tribal order. Same way with the Indians over here. The Indians that we drove out, they the happy hunting ground, the sun and the spirit and all that, they were spiritual people. You know what? Geronimo was a spiritual man, Brother Brown said. Saw visions. Now, how do you know that? There was no documentary back then to tell him that. God told him that. So he can make an example and show us that God is not... God's looking for a, what he say, an honest and a contrite heart. But you got to do that honest and contrite heart. You know, a lot of people say God knows my heart. Well, yeah, probably. No, he does. He knows the fullness of your heart. So you can't just sit at home, you know. He knows your heart. He knows your motive and your objective. And listen, Brother Brown said if your motive and objective is right, he said, God will come on the scene. So that's what I want. I was praying last night. I said, God, let's get our motive and objective right. Not just to come to this church, not just to have, you know, eat good dinner and have a good comfortable place to sit that'll make you all fall asleep because it's hot up here. What's the temperature? Is it 70? Okay. We're in that transition time where it's not hot enough outside to turn the air conditioner on. So, and I ain't moving and I'm still hot. But that's what God said. He said, look, he said, there's enough light to know that you ought to do right and wrong. There's been enough light to know that you believe on the resurrection. The preachers preached. The preachers preached. They preached their heart out. Accept him as personal Savior. Put your name on the church book and live the good life. But as far as signs and wonders and direct ray of the sun shining, it hasn't been since Pentecost. But now what happened? There was a restoration back to true Pentecost. Not 1906. I'm talking about AD 30 Pentecost. Were they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Were they received the Holy Ghost? They knew Jesus wasn't a third person of the Trinity, or second person of the Trinity. And they knew they didn't receive the third person on the day of Pentecost. They received the person. Peter said, this is that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Amen? So now let's skip some of this so we'll not be too long. Let's go on down, if y'all don't mind. Let's go to quote Genesis 18:3, because remember, God promised he would send the Son of Man back in the end time. All right, if he sent the Son of Man back, just go to Genesis 18:3, where Abraham met Melchizedek. Keep going, right there. And he said, my Lord, we know what that is, that's Adonai, which means man in flesh, God in flesh. So he was meeting Jehovah God, God in human flesh. So look at quote number 4. Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Bram said, God in this stage of his creation, later formed into flesh, Jesus. We'll get to that this afternoon. From the first great beginning, Spirit then came down to be the Word, bringing itself out. The Word doesn't yet make itself. It's just spoke out in morphe. Later he becomes flesh, Jesus, mortal to take death for all us sinners. So in a nutshell, he's saying this is Jehovah. Jehovah created everything and he carried those people down through the Old Testament. He appeared as Melchizedek. He appeared as the captain of the host. Moses saw his backside, but that wasn't Jesus the flesh. That wasn't the Savior that's in Isaiah said he'll give his soul a ransom. But he gave his body as a sacrifice. Amen. Amen. He had to be a lamb. A lamb has to have flesh. See, in Revelation 5, there's a lamb took the book. Now, a lamb can't take a book. A lamb has a hoof. But in symbol, John knew who that was. That was the Son of Man. Standing there in human flesh, God, taking the book of redemption. Amen? And Brother Bram said, and redeeming those that were in the book. By him being in flesh. So when Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. Now, what are me and you? Me and you are the attributes of God. In the final end. Listen, folks. If this ain't the final end. No, this is the final end. This thing can't go on too much longer. There's things happening that we don't know about. There's things happening that we do know about. But I know one thing's for sure. I know the one that knows the end. And he said he'd never leave us or forsake us. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. Every son of Abraham, every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. What? Meet God in human flesh. And have discernment and do what? Take a body change. See, the rite of redemption, he keeps going. We see it revealed here in Ruth and Boaz. What were they? They were flesh people. Amen? So God had to come down in human flesh to save mankind. We know that. He could not redeem as being Jehovah. Listen. He could not redeem being Jehovah. Jehovah was God above him. And only, we'll read it this afternoon, only by the blood of bulls and goats was sin covered, not done away with. So when that covering was over, he had to go back and make another sacrifice. When that 1 year was over, if that priest didn't take that blood and put it on the corners of the altar, the whole of Israel were killed because of their sins. So every year there's a remembrance. We'll read it there in Hebrews. Every year there's a remembrance because Jehovah God was up here, the angry God, the one that looked down through the smoke and the fire. But to be a redeemer, he had to come through that. And that's why I was telling you about that when I was reading the Christmas story. It thrilled my heart. How many times have you read something and then all of a sudden it just really thrills your heart? I mean, even anything else, it just thrills your heart. Even in the Bible, you read that and you say, man, that's what he really did for me. He went through all that. Why didn't God just wipe them off to begin with and just start all over? Well, that wasn't his plan. Because he had you in his mind. And he had you in his mind here. In this church age. So you had to be here in this church age to fulfill the attribute that he saw before the foundation of the world. That's true predestination. By foreknowledge. Amen? And that's another thing. See, you people, I had a guy call me about a year ago and he said, I'd come out to your church and go to your church if your views on predestination were different. I don't think the guy even goes to church now, but I said, my views. I said, I read y'all in the Bible where it said, by foreknowledge. Those he foreknew. Bible. Those he foreknew, he did predestinate. Because they believe it's just signed, sealed, delivered. There's nothing you can do. You know, like God's going to pull you through a tube and you just, you know, you're just brain dead. No, I don't believe that. I know y'all don't either. But the Bible says, by foreknowledge, that's what I told Jim. That's what I told that brother. I said, brother, I said, I was quoting you Bible. He never said another word. He just got off on hunting or something. I knew he didn't. He didn't understand what I was talking about to begin with. But I'd come to church with you if you change your view. I said, I'd have to change the Bible. I'd have to literally change the whole Bible. Brother Brown said the whole part of predestination is built on foreknowledge. Foreknowledge first because it's foreknowledge. Knowledge beforehand, before it even happens. He foreknew those he did predestinate. Oh my goodness, people. You see though, can I make this statement? We've come a different way. We've come a different way. Because the preaching of the word in this church, from starting with Brother Mode all the way through Brother Dale and all us ministers, we've come a different way. I'm sorry. Well, you know what? If that's not my testimony, then I'm going to go somewhere else. But why am I going to go into confusion where they can't even quote the Bible? I can't believe people don't read the Bible. Well, you know what? They read quotes. Well, folks, Brother Branham had to be quoting the Bible. He was a Bible prophet. You're just not getting what he's talking about. But listen, that's under the Son of God ministry. You can be that. You can be confused. That doesn't mean those people are lost. Right, Pop? That don't mean they're lost. Don't mean they're going to hell. They just don't understand. They live a good Christian life. They put their name on the book. They know what to do right or wrong. They don't cut their hair. They don't, you know, they do all the do's and don'ts. They pray to God. They go to church. They pay their tithe. They do everything. But they just can't go up to that next level. They just can't go up to that next level. Listen, the disciples couldn't go up to that next level because they didn't have the person inside of him. But now that was back then. That's where he built his church, though, on the Holy Ghost coming into those 120 in the upper room, and then they dispersed out into the world, I guess you might say. But now remember, see, so Satan gets a hold of it. And for four more church ages up to Columba, where the Catholic Church took over, there was a lot of truth. But there was a lot of error that was being poked in there that was not God. Listen, Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. He had no fault in him. He had no false doctrine in him. That's your Son of Man. No false doctrine. Jesus didn't have to be corrected. Okay? That's what we're going to have to come to. Oh, Brother Wade, you say we'd never be corrected? No, God never took. Listen, it don't matter. You got the Holy Ghost. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're signed, sealed, and delivered. But you know what? God still put deacons and preachers in the body to keep you straight and me straight. All right? So, but you know why? Because we're dual person. We got the Holy Ghost in our soul. We got some of that old nature that we try to keep that needs to die because, see, that's not working on your soul. That's working on your spirit realm. That's not working on your soul. Your soul's already signed, sealed, delivered. Your soul is eternal. It's working on your spirit realm because it's what? Contrary. Jesus never had a fight with himself. I had one this morning with myself. Okay? That you didn't? Huh? Yeah, you did, Luis. Thank you, brother. God bless you for being honest and awake. Praise the Lord. It is still hot up here, Aaron. I'm glad I'm not one of them Andrew Glover. I'd be absolutely sweating like you wouldn't believe. So what did God do? God winked at their ignorance through the church ages. He winked at their ignorance in the Old Testament. Because he knew these prophets were going to come on the scene. These prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all these different ones in the Old Testament. And they were going to prophesy that it was going to be dark during a certain time. And then the evening time there was going to be light. But see, God didn't require a rapture in the first age. He didn't require a rapture in the second age, third age, fourth age, fifth age, sixth age. But he required a rapture because there's no more church ages. Can't go any further. There's no more church ages. So God required a group of people to not even just come back to the faith of the fathers. That's the Son of God. But to go back to that Son of Man that spoke to them before the Son of God got here. Amen? I hope you understand that. That's how important this is. Because Luke 17 verse 28 says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. He's been hid, folks. He's been hid. But he's to be revealed in the end time under a Sodom condition. Lord have mercy, are we not under one? Worse than Sodom. Because it's not just two cities. It's the whole world now. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Revealed. Revealed means to be made known. And when something is revealed, it has to be made manifest. Amen? I mean, listen, have you ever held a revelation inside of you? I haven't. When God tells me something, I like to tell people about it. Amen? When God saved your soul, that was a revelation, wasn't it? And you wanted to tell everybody about it. I hope you did. I hope you didn't want to hide. I got saved. I don't do that no more. No, I was proud when God saved my soul. Because it was a work. Wasn't sweaty for him, but it was for me. Amen? Oh, so y'all all came in easy. Okay, that's fine. That's good. Well, just beat on the preacher then. But when the Son of Man is revealed, then we know that God showed himself through Moses, Joshua. We're going to read that this afternoon. So let's go to quote number 5, the unveiling of God. Because God had to send a prophet that was so close, there you go, that was so close to himself. Now listen to me, so close to himself, the same signs, the same wonders, the same everything Jesus did. But now listen, this man was not Jesus. Remember, what's the requirement to being the Son of Man? You got to be virgin born. That knocks everybody out. Everybody. So they, even William Branham. But listen, but God told us we could live close enough to him, even by our natural birth, but we deny our natural birth and take on the spiritual birth of the one that didn't need a birth. Amen? That's why they couldn't tell the difference when Brother Branham would. Now listen, what about a man that you stayed around with and you went hunting with and he said, you said, well, Brother Branham, you're just sitting there with you. You hadn't brushed your teeth in 3 or 4 days. You hadn't took a bath in a week. Don't ever try that. And, they're sitting around a campfire. Really? I mean, they're out hunting and one of them's going, well, Brother Branham, I think I'm going to go over here and hunt over here. And he's like, no, he sees a vision. He said, no, he said, I think I'd go over here, go up this trail, go up 2 mountains, move over to the left and you'll find some game right there. Well, if you lived around that all your life and it came to pass every single time, you'd think God was sitting there. Cause who else would know that? But it was him using and yielding himself so much to God that God could use him to do that. Same way with discernment and all these different things that he did, telling the people what they were going to do and what they had done in the past. And can't be anybody but God. And that is the Bible, because Brother Bram said that, you know, Jesus would have visions. He'd have, that's why God would tell him. He told him through visions. He'd have a vision. He said he had a vision. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. It took him 4 days to get there because he knew he was going to raise him from the dead anyway. But look, first he came as a prophet. Now this is what? The Son of Man. The Son of Man is what? The prophet. Yes. The Lord himself will raise up a prophet likened unto me, said Moses. All right? So the prophet, the Son of Man is a prophet. Notice he came as a prophet. They crucified him. His own crucified him. He came as the Son of Man. Then after the Holy Ghost came, Son of Man was crucified. He went to heaven in Acts 1, ascended up, sent back on the day of Pentecost the promise of the Holy Ghost. Then after the Holy Spirit came, because remember, that body that God had prepared Jesus couldn't be on the earth while we're on the earth. Because he declared we're his body. Paul declared we're his body. And members, particular, he talks about written epistles, known and read of all men, and all these different things about us being his body. So he couldn't have two bodies here at the same time, so he had to take the original body up, put it on the throne, wherever you want to say, I believe he's in the seventh dimension, where Brother Bram couldn't go, where Brother Bram couldn't see him, because he's in the seventh dimension, because he's reached immortality. Then after the Holy Spirit came, he was then the Son of God. That's when he came back on the day of Pentecost. God inside of human beings. He was the Holy Spirit, Son of God. He lived through the church ages as Son of God. Now in the millennium, he'll be Son of David, sitting on the throne of his father David. He is the Son of God. Now, and remember, between the Son of God, see, here's the promise that me and you have. I want you to make sure this is a promise to me and you. Now remember, Brother Brown said, take God promises. And do something with them. Because if he promised it, somebody's got to be there to receive it. Between the Son of God and the Laodicean church age, they put him out. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And in Luke, he said he would be revealed again as Son of Man. I just read that to you, Luke 17:30, and all the different ones that we're familiar with. As Son of Man, the prophet. Now remember, Brother Branham was not the prophet. He was a prophet. Revealing the prophet. Because Brother Bram said the messenger of this age is what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The prophet. Fulfilling the rest of it. The scriptures tie perfectly together. Son of man, Son of God, Son of David. But now remember, God promised though that right in here, he'd come back as the Son of Man. That's what he's saying right here. He's going to be right here. Because what is Son of David? Son of David's after that last week that we're talking about of Daniel 70 weeks when the millennium starts. He will be the Son of David. But he's got to come back. He's the Son of God now. He's got to come back as the revelation of the Son of Man. Then he's going to be revealed as the Son of God to the Jews. Amen. Then he's going to be the Son of David, promised that he would sit on the throne ruling the 12 tribes of Israel, where me and you are going to be there on a honeymoon. Amen. I hope y'all understood that and studied it. That's something that shouldn't be a question in your mind. You should know why the millennium is not to us. We're eternal. Millennium is time. Brother Brown says over and over, he said it's to prove the sin curse is over. Your sin curse got over way before that. If you become the bride of Jesus Christ, your sin curse is over with. You say, oh no. Quit looking at this. Because it's going to be changed. And this sin curse is going to be over. It's a great drama. He's acting it out. You know why God's doing all this? To prove the devil who he is. And to prove that he can work through something that Satan marred. Because Satan marred every one of us. Wasn't God's fault. Oh yeah, we say it was our fault. It was, but it's Satan into us is what causes us to do the things we did. Okay? Now let's read number 6, the indictment. You need to read this whole, because basically he's telling them, watch, I'll just let him. Remember, they were very religious people that did that. He's talking about the crucifixion. Because they didn't crucify the Son of God. You can't crucify the Son of God. That's Spirit God. You crucify the Son of Man, which is a human flesh person. We got that? Not a different person, but a human flesh. Same person in there. And we'll get at this afternoon or later on, because when we get to the crucifixion, we got to see that the soul was tore out of the body. All right? Remember, they were very religious. But listen, we got to get the body inside that flesh first. I mean, the soul inside that flesh first. That's what we're talking about this afternoon. That's the Christmas story. Remember, they were very religious people that did that. They wasn't outsiders. They were religious people of that day. And that's what's doing it today, is the religious people. Same crucifixion, same thing today. Quickly. There they crucified him. Remember how he explained all that. They are the most religious people, religious place in the world. They, the most religious people, the most horrible death. They crucified the Son of Man. Then, sure. When they were rejecting God's Word made manifest, accepting their creeds instead of the Word. Now, he's talking about Caiaphas, but he's also talking about today. All right? I'm just going to read you what the prophet said. Is that what they're doing today? That's exactly doing the same today. He was the Word, and they rejected the Word. That's one point I want you not to miss. See, I want you not to miss. He was the Word. And when they rejected him, they rejected the Word. And when they did reject him, they finally crucified him. And that's what they've done today. Crucified him. Killed the Son of Man again. That's why the Son of Man had to come back in the end time. And that's what they've done today. Reject the Word of God and accepted their creeds, and has crucified publicly before their congregation the workings of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And they're guilty, and I indict them in the name of Jesus Christ. There's your indictment. He's not indicting the drunks. He's not indicting the whoremongers. He's not indicting the prostitutes. He's indicting those people sitting in that church at that moment, plus everybody else that's got a denominational idea. And they're guilty, and I indict them in the name of Jesus Christ. How strong is that? We say, oh, we don't need it. Now, they are good people. But if they accept that religion and become blinded by it, then they're part of that order, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen? So now let's go to number 7, proving his word. Then I want to read something to get us ready for this afternoon. Now, after 1900 years, with the church ages past and all the things that he prophesied of Luther Wesley, we just went through and seen it drawn out. And the moon come down and drawn it out, and the Lord drawn it on the board here for us and showed it. Come down himself and confirmed it to be right. Why can't these people see that? And they think he's a false prophet. And they think he conjured all these things up. Come on, people. Good grief. They're blind. There's no doubt. He confirmed that this prophet was right. Listen, he confirmed this prophet. You know why he confirmed that? You know how I know he confirmed him? Because he confirmed him to me. He confirmed him to me. That's how I know he's right. That's how I know there's no faults in this message. Because he confirmed it to me. I don't know about you. You got to decide for yourself. But he confirmed it to me. After 1900 years, and we're at the end of the Laodicean church age, he promised in Luke 17:30, we read it, that this same Son of Man, he promised it, would be revealed in the days like it was in Sodom upon the earth. Did he do it? Does it have to come to pass? It's impossible. Now, he stops his thought. I believe he was going to say it's impossible for it not to pass. Now, remember, he came in three names, the Son of Man, a prophet, the Son of God, the Spirit. Remember, come back on the day of Pentecost and live through the church ages. Then Son of David for the millennium, which has nothing to do with us. But in between this conjunction, now, according to his own words, in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed, Luke 17:30, reveal himself as what? Not Son of God. Now listen, he revealed himself as the Son of God through all the things I was telling you about. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do right. Do good. Do what you're supposed to do. Live a good life. You know what Brother Brown told him on the sixth seal? He said, go on as you are. Live a good, simple life. He said, because it's gone from you. You know what he was telling them? He said, Son of Man has not been revealed to you yet. And he'd been revealing him the whole week. See how simple that is? He was set there the whole week and he said, I was hoping y'all would get this. Preaching the greatest message he'd ever preached. No one had ever preached that except Jesus himself. That's how great that message was for that week. And he was on the sixth seal and they didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But he didn't say y'all a bunch of bastards. He didn't say y'all a bunch of idiots. He said, no, go on and live a good Christian life. You know what he said? Go and live a good Christian life. This is not for you. This is for somebody else. It's going to be revealed, in other words, in a different way. In the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed, reveal himself as what? Not Son of God, Son of Man. Will reveal himself in a different way. Now, when you say that, everybody's like, well, it's got to be just something totally different. No, it doesn't. The Son of Man came on this earth, the very guy. Listen, folks, he was the absolute Old Testament walking on two feet.
Absolutely.
Not a second person. And listen, a Jew don't believe in a second person. They believe in one God. They believe when God comes back as the Messiah, it's going to be God in human flesh. And they missed him. But he was literally the walking Old Testament. But he came a different way than what they wanted him to come. Will reveal himself in a different way. Now what does that make? Malachi 4, exactly right. The Son of Man will reveal himself, not in a whole big denomination and things as we've been through the ages, but he would manifest himself as Son of Man again to make manifest Malachi 4. And in that day I will send you Elijah the prophet. He shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. What do you have to do? Zerubbabel had to clean the foundation off. And rebuild. Right? He didn't make a new foundation. Swept that one off. He didn't make a new foundation. The foundation was already there. He just built up this stature of a perfect man so me and you could climb up there with him. You say, oh, Brother Wade, we can't get up there where Brother Brown was at. I know we can't get exactly where he was at. Because I'm not a prophet. But you know what? I can get close because I'm telling you, he's laying in a grave. The headstone didn't come while he was alive. Not the fullness. The fullness of the headstone's in me and you. We need to pull him out of the grave. That doesn't belittle him and make us no better. It puts a position that we've got to come to, that we've got to see that headstone is the bride of Jesus Christ. Nothing else but us. But how'd he get here? All right, let's read. Now remember, he was the whole of the Old Testament. He fulfilled, like, what was it, 400 scriptures just right when he was crucified.
Amen.
But I say he fulfilled every one of them the whole time he was alive. From Genesis 1 all the way to Malachi 4. But he came a different way. He didn't come the normal way. Brother Branham came a different way. They loved him when he was healing the sick and raising the dead and praying for their people and sending them. I mean, he filled churches full. They'd all get the Holy Ghost. He'd say, y'all got the Holy Ghost. He said, go find you a good full gospel place to go to church. He was filling their churches up. But buddy, about 1960, 61, 62, 63, obviously, and on further into his ministry, No. They hated him. They didn't want to have nothing to do with him no more. If it wasn't for that, what, Brother Carl Williams, I think, with the Full Gospel Businessman, he'd have never got in them anymore. But thank God somebody kept the door open so he could come in and preach. And we could have the tapes. Didn't matter about them sitting there. I'm sorry for them people. They're already gone on. But I'm getting what he said. Amen? I'm getting the real reason he came. Amen? He didn't come just to heal the sick, raise the dead. Sure, Jesus didn't either. He came to save your soul.
Amen.
We'll read that this afternoon. So let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to the very end, brothers. Isaiah 7, 13 and Isaiah 9, 6. We got to get Jesus here. We've read Ezekiel. We read it last week. Son of Man prophesy. Can these bones rise? Yes. Isaiah 7, verse 13. Now listen. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. House of David, coming to the Jews. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, son of man, a son, a flesh child. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. By interpretation, that would be God with us. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Musicians, get ready to come when I finish reading this. Isaiah 9, 6, for unto us a child is born. Child, child, there's son of man, there's a flesh person coming about. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, here's the son of David promised right here. He never forgot Israel. He's going to rule those 12 tribes of Israel in the millennium under their time. But not for us. And upon his kingdom, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This afternoon, we're going to see that first scripture fulfilled because Gabriel is going to go talk to that virgin. This may be simple as it can be, but I'm telling you, I had a good little Pentecostal revival last night just going through this again to know what God did for me. Amen. To know what he did for me. Yes, and how it all got started. Amen. And that he's gracious. Let's stand to our feet. He's gracious. He knows what we need. Yes. He knows how we need to get here. Amen. He knew we were going to have to come born in sin, shaped in iniquity, spouse from our mother's womb a liar. Yes, doomed and on our way to hell. Lived a... Brother Claude says, a hound dog life. But you know what? If you're born again today, God never saw a bit of it. He don't remember it. It never happened. We knew it did, but he didn't. That's why the Son of Man revelation is going to be a little bit different. We're going to talk about that because you know what? He came different, but he didn't come different from what the Word said. He came exactly the way the Word said. Walked right up to Caiaphas and said, I am he. And they crucified him for saying the truth. That's why we're not so popular. We tell the truth. And when you tell the truth, you're not popular. So that's okay. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Oh, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore, all that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, a glorious day.
Because that day is this day.
Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus.
Listen, we see him more now than anybody's ever seen him before.
When I look upon
the apostles didn't understand who he was.
The one who saved
until after he'd already left the scene.
By his grace.
But we know where he's at now.
He take me by the hand.
Sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness,
because of what a man did for us. God died in human flesh so that you and I could have eternal life.
We'll be sing. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day.
Today. But you know what? I believe the Bible says we can see Him now face to face. I believe He told us that we could see Him. We see Him in each other. We see Him in the life of the prophet. We ought to be able to see Him in the life of me and you. We ought to live so close to God till they think we're God. We got the same Holy Ghost. We should have the same discernment. I'm going to bring that quote I read this morning from adoption. Brother Bram said, when you get, he said, give me a church that's got all sin out of their life, that has no grudges between each other, that has love between the brethren and us. He just gave a big old long list. Brother John, that paragraph's this long in the adoption series. And he starts listing. He said, then God will bring brotherly kindness. He'll bring joy, patience, temperance, knowledge. People will start speaking in tongues. He just kept naming what we would get if we would get all this stuff. Brother Brown said one unconfessed sin can stop the whole church from getting their blessing. One, misbehavior. Do you ever just try to clean yourself up when you get to come to church? Man, I do. Folks, listen, this is a fearful place. This is the house of God. This is the fearful place. Don't be scared to come here, but be fearful that God is going to discern something in our life, or we're going to hold it and somebody will not be able to get something and we'll be held accountable for it. We need to get everything out of our life. Don't be thinking about what we're going to do tomorrow. Don't be thinking about what you did yesterday. Listen to what God said today. If you listen to what God said today, He'll give you something for tomorrow. I promise you tomorrow will be a whole lot better. Amen? That will be. Oh, what a day. That will be.
When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face. The one who saved me by His grace, and He'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day.
I have to explain it to Him, Lord. All we need to do is just apply it like You said in the Bible. And that's, Lord, what we're going to do. We're going to believe Your promise that, Lord, when these cloths are laid on each one of these children, that You'll protect them, Lord, and the things would leave their body, Lord, that needs to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. All minds are clear. You're dismissed this afternoon. Be golden shore.